Welcome to Teaching Without Losing It. I'm doing a second interview with a colleague of mine in the series about career teachers and their own strategies. So I'm going to go ahead here. How long have you been teaching?
This is my 15th year.
15, that's a good stretch. And how many times would you say you've thought about leaving teaching?
Some years, multiple times a year, mm-hmm. but like honestly, seriously started to like do a resume, start to search twice.
Twice, got it.
Yeah.
Okay. And was that like during the year or in the summer?
I think one of them was during the summer mm-hmm. and one of them was like at the very end of a school year.
Seems like a reasonable time.
Yes.
I know for me, it's been during the school year when I've hopped on to, back then it was monster.com, you know, now it's Indeed and whatever, but all right. And why did you decide to stay?
For me, it was that the reminding of myself that every year is a unique year, you know, and that the problems that you had the previous year might not be the problem that you have the next year. And one of the years I actually, through therapy, my therapist was like, you need to have a conversation with your principal again. And you need to say that, you know, some of these classes are not good for you to teach right now, that you're not going to not teach those courses ever again, but that you just mentally, emotionally need a break. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and if your principal doesn't listen to you, go to your union rep, you know.
That's good advice.
And that was really good advice at the time. And I did. And they, you know, took that off my schedule, even though I'd asked for that for 2 years previous, you know, going in and saying, I think saying like, I've had a conversation with my therapist about this, I think was kind of the like, oh, we actually need to do something rather than just kick the ball down the road. Or, you know, the 2 previous years, they made changes that they thought would help me, even though I told them that that was not what was going to be helpful for me.
Yes.
And, you know, so it worked out in the end. But, you know, having to, you know, go to an administrator and say, you know, I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
If you keep doing this to me.
Right.
You know, I'm not a superhero. You can't keep putting all this on me.
We also at high school, at the high school level, we've got the benefit of you work in a department where you have multiple teachers who can teach your same subject.
Yes.
So that is a really good strategy if you have that ability. I teach French, so there's only 2 of us. So that can't really happen with me. But I think if you have that option, it's a good one to exercise.
Yeah.
Would you... what year teaching were you in when you tried to go in the first time and have that conversation, would you say?
I would say it was probably like 5 or 6.
Do you think it was kind of tough still being newish?
Oh, definitely. I was very intimidated to do it. Uh-huh. I was very nervous. You know, the first time it happened when I went in, or actually the first time I didn't even go in, I just put on my request form. Mm-hmm. We have a, you know, we get the email, say, hey, what do you want to do? You can be very specific on it. And I put specifically what I wanted. And I even gave a reason why. And then no change happened. And then I, you know, I was like, okay, well, the next year comes around. I'm like, all right, I'm stuck. We're going to make the best of it. It's a new group of kids. You know, we'll see how it goes. The issue was more of with the team I was working on and the type of students that were being put in with that team.
Yes.
It was not an appropriate mix. And so back to the original point was that then the following year I went in and I said, hey, listen, this needs to happen. Like, I need out.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we're going to make this other change. You know, we made the one change last year, you know, even though we hadn't had the conversation about it. Then the next year, like, we're going to do this other change. We think this is going to be better for you. And I said, no, that's not going to be better for me because you're not doing, you know, you're not also changing the types of students that we're getting within this program.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so I did it for another year. It was not, it still wasn't great, maybe a little bit better.
Yeah.
But then that third, going into the third year, my therapist was just like, you have to go in. And I say, you know, pull the union card.
Yeah.
You had to pull the union card because, you know, if not, I was going to be leaving teaching.
Yeah. And we are fortunate that we live in a state where unions are still allowed to operate. Yeah. You know, you do feel really bad for teachers in states where they have, gotten rid of all the unions. It's a kind of a nightmare scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're very lucky that we have a strong union, where I do feel that if, you know, the administration said, no, we're not changing it, I do feel like that I could have gone into my union representative and they would have, you know, tried to find a resolution.
Yes.
You know, in some way, shape, or form. Instead, they put a Band-Aid on it for a year, and then the next year, the program dissolved.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, because it wasn't a functioning program.
I was going to say, that proves it right there. Yeah, it wasn't a functioning program, right.
And so now I actually am, I now do pretty much the same program with the students that should be in that type of program.
Yes.
And it runs smoothly, beautifully.
Right.
I love it. Every year I put, don't take me off this team.
That's great.
I want to work with these kids.
Wow, what a change.
You know, but we also had a change in administration.
Yes.
So, you know, I think it was a combination of all of those things.
Right.
And there were some changes in district office with the program that they were like, hey, we're not doing this program correctly as an entire district.
Yeah.
We need to actually do what the state wants us to do. Right. And I don't know if there was like an issue with maybe not getting funding or something, but
yeah,
you know, that was the year they're like, we're overhauling it.
Right.
And I was like, all right, I'll give it another shot. I'll do it. But
that's awesome.
You know.
Okay. Next question. How do you personally keep teaching without losing it?
So that has evolved for me for many years. For many years, I self-medicated with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, therapy has been a huge one for me that has been very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the teacher's lounge and being able to vent mm-hmm. was definitely one of mine mm-hmm. for a long time. And one of mine that I've done all along is my mom was a career teacher for 35 years, but she taught elementary.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, even though we're high school, they're little baby brains sometimes, you know, like
oh, yeah.
the stuff that she does, she did with her fourth, fifth graders,
yeah.
works with my ninth graders and even my up to 12th graders.
Yes.
And so, you know, I will always run things past her, you know, of course, keeping it professional, never using names or anything like that,
yeah.
but just saying like, this is the scenario that's happening. This is what I'm seeing. You know, what do you got for me? Can you brainstorm for
that's
me?
Great.
And she sometimes will throw me some really great tips. Utilizing other staff members too, reaching out and having conversations.
Yeah.
Because for a long time I felt like I was on an island.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I only really had conversations with my department people about things that were happening.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, that's stupid. I'm just going to look up who the kids got on its schedule and ask them what can happen.
Yeah.
And so then for a long time I was the person who was seeing something issue with the student or something. And then I was the one that would send out this like mass email to all the teachers, put the counselor on it. And even sometimes the principal.
I've done that myself many times.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of starting that, you know, just that quick, like, hey, this is happening. What tools are you using? What's working? What's not working? Help. Just basically help. And I think as teachers, a lot of times we don't like to ask for help because we think we're the ones supposed to have all the answers. Well, we're not.
No.
You cannot be that kind of person and be a successful teacher. You have to be comfortable with making mistakes and forgiving yourself for mistakes and moving forward and showing the kids that you're a human and that you're going to make mistakes too.
Right.
And right. being resilient from it, you know?
Yeah. You know, and there's no shame in asking for help or even encouragement. I think we typically won't get it from our administration, not necessarily because they're bad people or bad administrators, but they have 1,000 things on their plate.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're seeking, I did a segment about seeking validation, external validation is a recipe for burnout. And I think a lot of people would love for their administration to say, wow, you're doing a great job, but they just don't have the time
mm-hmm.
to devote those chunks to us, so we have to seek them out from other people, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, okay, my last question is, what advice would you give to teachers who feel like they are losing it?
Take a breath. Take a big breath, and you need to make sure that you are, you know, ultimately taking care of yourself. You know, one of my big things was I would eat crap food.
Yeah.
stop eating crap food, stop, you know, reduce your caffeine intake if that's something that you're really into. I mean, I was drinking a whole pot of coffee at one point to get through my day.
Right.
And that's not healthy. So just taking a step back and caring for yourself first, prioritizing yourself. If the papers don't get graded, who cares?
Right.
It'll get done eventually. You know,
I've said that before. There's never come a June at the end of the year and I still have work to do.
Exactly.
It's always done.
And so just starting with that, allowing yourself to be a human again, allowing yourself to be an adult, you know, like in my first probably 10 years of teaching, I would go home multiple days a week and I'd work for 2 or 3 hours on stuff. And you have to just say to yourself, like, if it doesn't get done, it doesn't get done and it'll get done eventually.
Yeah.
And also reaching out to your teammates, you know, with how to, you know, the department team that I am on, we do almost everything together.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody has their strengths. Like I make the assessments because I'm really good at using that program. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the teachers hates using that program to make them. So like she does some of like the interactive activities because that's something she really enjoys doing.
That's great.
And then, you know, we always just say, you know, we have shared folders within Google,
right,
and we just go through them and just say at our meetings, you know, hey, here's what we're thinking about.
Yeah.
This is what I've got. What do you think? And everything always ends up so much better, so much better than it would have been. But I think just taking care of yourself, allowing yourself to just relax.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Relax.
And as you pointed out earlier, allow yourself to fail too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to kill it. Certainly not the first couple of years.
No.
And then you're going to have years even, I mean, I'm at year 27 and this year's been a struggle for me.
Yeah.
So.
And I think also knowing that, you know, earlier I said something about like, it's going to change, it's going to evolve. You know, I now know that in the future, I'm going to have years where I hate teaching and I know that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm now emotionally prepared and I have a toolkit.
Yeah.
To make those years more manageable.
It's a little bit like a marriage, isn't it, teaching?
Oh, 100% it's like a marriage. Yeah.
100%. You have good days, you have bad days, you have good years, you have bad years. You know, it's an emotionally complicated job.
Yeah. Well, and part of it for the emotional part is that for me, I struggle with, they want us to like be able to like relate with the kids and bond with them and put all this emotional energy into making sure that they're, you know, healthy, happy, you know, something's going on with them, they can come to you. And it's like, when do I have time to then teach? Like, you got to find a balance with it. And, you know, that emotion is exhausting. So this year, I am not emotionally available to my students.
Yeah.
Like, I have set that boundary.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, I don't call home as often this year as I would with things because I need to protect myself.
Yeah.
And in this day and age, like you have so many different ways to access your students' grades.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that information that it's like, if you don't know or you're not reaching out to me, like I'm sorry, this is high school. They're old enough now to figure this out.
Yeah, we have our grading system is transparent. It's online. Parents can look at it. Kids can look at it. So
parents can see every assignment I assign.
Right. We don't really need to call home anymore anyway. So, you know, then that's definitely also a nice perk we have. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate it. I think it will. You know, hearing from different people is good. They've been hearing my voice blather on now for a long time. So it's nice to get a different one in. So
glad
thank
I could
you.
Help.
All right. Bye-bye.